Welcome to the Jeff Blumenkrantz Songbook Podcast, episode 12. I'm here with Sutton Foster, and she's laughing at me just like, it's like, is it so hysterical, like how I introduce the show?
It's wonderful.
No, it's like, it must be, I must look really stupid too when I say it. Anyway, thank you so much for being here. This is a complete treat for me.
I am so thrilled.
Oh,
I'm such a fan.
Stop it. I'm so excited.
It's true, dude.
Okay, but here's the thing. With you being on this podcast, this is the first time I've completely used my podcast to meet someone. Well, I mean, we have this really good mutual friend, Casey Nicola,
yes,
the brilliant choreographer and now director.
Yep.
And I was out with Casey and we ran into Sutton. I was like, you have to give me a really good introduction to Sutton Foster because I'm a really big fan. And I'm about to ask her to sing on my podcast.
I'm so excited. I'm just so glad it worked out.
Oh, my God. Thank you again for being here. So I just want to talk about you for a second. Not that everybody doesn't know everything I'm going to say.
Okay.
But obviously, you know, you had this, you know, Broadway career, and then there was Millie.
And then there was Millie.
And I have to say, if you never did anything but Millie, it was like a history books performance.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, really extraordinary. And I think Gimme Gimme was like one of the most exciting 5 minutes I've ever spent in a theater.
Oh, that's so exciting.
I mean,
it was such an honor to be able to be a part of it. You know, and it's been 4 years since we started rehearsals of Millie. It was in 2002. And I look back on it now in amazement of it, of everything that had happened. And now I'm doing a new show and going back to the Marquee Theater, and the Drowsy Chaperone is playing the Marquee Theater, and we're rehearsing in the same studios that Millie rehearsed in. And it's this, I'm sort of revisiting all of those memories, and Millie really, it changed my life, my career, everything. And I remember the first time I heard Gimme Gimme when Janine Tesori and Dick Scanlon played it for me in the lobby of the La Jolla Playhouse.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I get to sing that. And it was during previews and we like put it in the show that night. And it was just one of those things. I thought, I've never had a song, you know, written for me. It was unbelievable. You know, it's just still, Millie will be, you know, I'll be known as Millie.
Well, it was such an incredible marriage of material and performer. I mean, I don't know who could have done that better than you.
Oh,
I mean,
so nice.
Really, in like the history of musical theater performers, it's just like, it was a perfect timing of that you existed then when that was written. I mean, really.
Yeah.
So congratulations.
Thank you.
You know, 5 years later or
thank
however
you.
Long ago. And then, of course, you followed it up with another brilliant performance in Little Women.
Oh, thank you.
And now,
The Drowsy Chaperone.
Well, I want to talk about that after we sing, because
okay.
I actually saw you in that in L.A.
I didn't know that.
Yes, but we'll talk about that later.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
So on to our song of the day.
Okay.
The song that Sutton's singing today is called Time Does Not Bring Relief, and it's a setting of an Edna St. Vincent Millay poem. As you know, I set many, many of these, and they're almost all in the book. And I need to give props to Sally Wilfert, who you may remember from episode, I think, 4. She sang I'm Free. And Sally sang this song for me in a concert. And it was originally written very soprano-y, which she sang beautifully. But she pitched to me this lower key version, and I completely fell in love with it. And then went into the songbook in a whole other key than I had originally intended. And that's the key that Sutton's going to sing it in for you today, which is kind of like F minor. It's not kind of like F minor, it's F minor. Damn it. Anyway, I am so thrilled to be able to present Sutton Foster singing Time Does Not Bring Relief.
Time does not bring relief. You all have lied. Who told me time would ease me of my pain? I miss him in the weeping of the rain.
want him at the shrinking of the tide. The old snows melt from every mountainside, and last year's leaves are smoke in every lane. But last year's bitter loving must remain heaped on my heart, and my old thoughts abide. There are 100 places where I fear to go, so with his memory they brim. And entering with relief some quiet place where never fell his foot or shone his face, I say there is no memory of him here. And so stand stricken,
that was so good.
That's a beautiful song.
Thank you. I love that performance so much. I'm not even gonna like try and play it, but I had an accompanying meltdown. but it was beautiful.
Oh, okay.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for learning that for this.
Thank you for letting me sing it.
Oh, and you know, I feel like one of the things I love about you and your skill is that you bring so much charm and I call it sparkle. You know, you're just like so high on the charm and sparkle-ometer. And I feel like I've like handed you this song that while it takes advantage of your beautiful sense of, you know, of drama and interpretation and your incredible voice, that I've completely not taken advantage of your charm and sparkle.
That's
sparkle
okay.
Pie. I know, but you know,
I love this aspect. You know, I feel like people know me as the Charm and Sparkle girl. So it's kind of nice to do something different.
Oh,
so
good.
I appreciate you thinking of me for a song like this.
Oh,
you know?
Excellent. Okay, so it's time to talk about
da-da-da-da.
The Drowsy Chaperone. There's probably a song that, is there a song that has that melody, like a melody for those words?
No.
There isn't? Okay.
There should be, I guess.
Yeah, so I saw this incredibly charming, beautiful production at the Amundsen in Los Angeles. I think I saw your second preview.
Oh my God.
So,
oh yeah, you saw it early
I
on.
Saw it really early, and you had just had a little injury.
Yes.
So what exactly was the injury?
I broke my wrist.
You broke your wrist, so.
I was in a cast. I had like a little arm cast.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which I saw.
Yeah.
Even from the back of the Amundsen.
Oh yeah.
And
I had a little cast cozy. I had like a little, like my skin color cozy that went over the white cast.
It was, well, all I have to say is that you had broken your wrist and were doing this show, this performance, was crazy. I mean, it really made me batty because this performance is very, it's a very aggressive performance.
Yeah.
I mean, you went for it.
Oh, yeah.
With this cast on your arm, and I my head was going to explode because I did not want to be there the day that Sutton Foster did a one-armed cartwheel and landed on her already broken wrist.
I know.
You did a one-armed cartwheel with a broken wrist.
I know. I did 5 of them. I did, yeah.
That's crazy.
Every night, I know.
Crazy.
It was crazy. It was crazy. And like for about a week, because it was really broken. I mean, I don't know the degree of like breaking, but towards the end of the run, you know, I wore the cast throughout the whole run, but towards the end of the run, I wouldn't you know, after I have this big number, I have a big number called Show Off, and I basically show off.
It's so great.
And so I do like crazy cartwheels and stuff. And then when I broke my wrist, I basically taught myself how to do one-handed cartwheels. I could do them when I was a little girl, but not.
You never did an adult one-arm cartwheel.
Well,
and you learned
not
the broken.
Really?
You're high. You're crazy.
Well, I was worried, and I didn't know if I was going to be able to do the show, and I'm high on Vicodin, and I'm just like, I'm on painkillers, and I'm literally moving my furniture in my rented apartment, and I'm teaching myself how to do. I could have killed myself. And I literally am moving the couch with one arm, like dragging it across. And so for about a week after, in previews, after I do show off, I'd have to have Tylenol time. Where I would like douse Tylenol. And I would walk around backstage with my hand elevated, like above my head. And everyone would do it in solidarity.
Oh.
And so, because all the blood would be rushing to the injury. But I was really proud of myself because I had a moment where I could have gone home.
Right.
No one would have. I could have gone home.
No one would have thought twice.
And for some reason, it was an extreme test of perseverance, and I just decided to do it. And I allowed myself to be sort of imperfect, and it was just a big lesson for me. And I was actually really, you know, when it happened, I'm like, but then I'm so happy that it happened. It taught me so much. It really taught me a lot.
That's huge.
It hurt a lot, but it taught me more. So I came out of it like a completely different performer, person, everything. It was weird.
Well, I have to say watching it was incredibly inspiring. I mean, a little scary.
A little scary. But a lot of people did say it was scary.
No, but really inspiring for everything you just said, so.
Yeah, it was a big deal. It was a big deal. I struggle. I'm sure you do too. I think as all artists, we struggle for that perfection. That like 100%, 180% every time. And I literally had this limitation.
Mm.
And it taught me that I didn't have to, you know, I didn't have to be 150%, that 75% was enough. And just me showing up, I was already winning. So it's like a big deal. It was a big deal. I like wept, you know?
It's so funny to hear you like even use the term 75%, because there was nothing 75% about that performance. I mean, maybe 75% of your body could get in.
Yeah, but it was enough. It was like enough. And it just taught me a lot. Like, I think I've always sort of overworked and given, you know, so it's just, it taught me a lot. It was cool. It's a good thing.
Well, congratulations.
Thanks.
And you know, it wasn't a long time away from Broadway, but welcome back.
Yeah.
Who am I to say welcome back? I'm not on Broadway, but it's like, I feel
people
like...
People do say, they're like, welcome back to Broadway. I'm like, hey.
Who are you?
But you know, it is a good, it's, you know, I feel so lucky because it's what I love. And this show especially, I just feel, I'm really proud, and it's a very rare thing. I feel like we're part of something really special, and it's original and smart, and I literally walk around backstage giddy and happy, and I, you know, those things are rare, and I'm just trying to treasure every moment.
Excellent. And when do you, tell me the dates, when do you preview open?
We preview, first preview is April 3rd.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's very soon. Very soon. Don't look at me like that. I'm already freaked out. And opening night is May 1st.
Excellent.
Yeah, so.
And the only sad thing.
What?
Is that New York was going to get, was supposed to get a concert from you.
I know. Well, I did have a concert at Joe's Pub, but it wasn't as publicized as the Feinsteins.
Yeah, will maybe happen another time?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
I've only done like the one-nighters, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I would love to do a more extended, you know, concert venue. I'm working on some really, really cool projects right now too. So hopefully we'll be able to showcase those.
Are you feeling like you want to articulate any of those?
One of them has to do with The Drowsy Chaperone. I can't really talk about it, but it does have to do with The Drowsy Chaperone, and it's a really interesting concept and idea, and so look for it. It'll be appearing.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's really cool.
My interest is piqued, and I know. I'm slightly unsatisfied with the amount of information I just got.
I know, sorry.
And anything else you want to talk about or plug or divulge?
No.
No? Okay.
Just proud. Thanks so much for letting me be here today.
Oh, my God. Thank you for, you know, trusting a stranger and his music and coming here.
I'm not a stranger to your music.
Oh.
So I might be a stranger to the person, but I'm not a stranger to your music. Oh,
thank you. Thank you. And thank you all for listening to episode 12. And this is Jeff and Sutton saying bye-bye.
Bye.